Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So I think I shared with some of you that a few months ago, I was able to go on a fantastic trip into Israel. The very last day of that trip was a boat ride on the Mediterranean Sea. I thought I was going to hyperventilate with excitement. I'd already been on the Sea of Galilee, and now I'm going to be on the Mediterranean Sea. So I get there, we get to the boat. My husband up here in the front, he's deep sea fished before and gets real sick, so he had opted out of the boat ride. And some of you know Harvey and Sally Herman, they were also with us, and Harvey opted out of the boat ride on the Mediterranean. But I was uber excited about it. I get on the boat, and it was like a party barge in the Mediterranean. I mean, they gave us little soda and snacks, and it was like Tel Aviv over here, Joppa over here. It was like I was living in the Bible time, but I had my Diet Coke, and it was awesome. So here we were, and I was, you know, friends, we were all chatting and talking, and we take out on this boat. And people who know me will say, when I get involved in conversation, I kind of am not paying attention with what's going on around me. And even though I was on this incredible boat ride in the middle of the Mediterranean, I was chatting, and I kind of wasn't paying attention to what was happening around me. So we were just going easily through this. And then all of a sudden, without any warning, at least for me, because I was chatting, that boat started rocking back and forth. And what I didn't realize is the chair that I was sitting on was not bolted down. And so the boat started rocking, and my chair started moving back and forth. And all of a sudden, this peaceful boat ride with my Diet Coke and my pretzels, the pretzels were all over everywhere. And this peaceful, and can I tell you, there is a video of this moment, but I hope nobody ever sees it, because it is not my proudest day. Sometimes when I get into these kind of storms, I squeal and yell and do all those things that we shouldn't do in those moments. But anyway, the storm came, and then as quick as we were in these waters, we were out of them. And what I didn't recognize is we had been in a harbor for a very long time. When they pulled out of the harbor, it was like, oh, too much, we'll go back in the harbor. So my boat ride was like 2 hours in the harbor. But it was still a lot of fun. But one thing that that boat ride makes me think about is oftentimes when we get to the place where we are crying out to God for peace, it comes kind of suddenly. Oftentimes we're just in a regular day going along, and then all of a sudden something happens, and we get to a place where we get to a point of desperation, and we end up going on our knees and crying out to God for peace. I was in that moment. It was a split second. Sometimes we feel the clouds rumbling and we watch them as they're coming across. The people in Hawaii right now, they're kind of prepping for a storm, aren't they? And then they could kind of watch the clouds come and prep their heart for a storm, prep their life for a storm. Can I tell you, peace is a commodity that this world probably needs more than anything else. As we walk and interact with people and even pay attention to our own lives, it is very easy for a storm to start raging in our day, in our soul, in our health, and we find ourselves crying out for peace. Jesus, right before he was getting ready to walk up to his greatest storm of his life, he was going to the cross, and it was his last few moments that he had with his disciples, those that were closest with him. He was giving his last words to them, as recorded at the end of John, the Gospel of John, and these were some of the words he gave to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Crying out to the Lord for peace. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. This kind of peace, a commentator said about it, he said that Jesus gave his soul to his Father. He gave his body was left to Joseph. His clothes were taken by a soldier. His mother he gave John. John he gave his mother. But to this band that were the closest to him, he gave this great gift of peace. Peace with God, peace with others, and peace with ourself. Ephesians 2:14 tells us that he himself is our peace. So when we are crying out to God for peace, we are actually crying out for Jesus. He is our peace. And John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives." And as I mentioned before, it's very obvious to know that this world is in desperate need of peace. Let's look just a second before we get a little bit deeper on the peace of God. I want to look just for a few seconds at the peace the world has to give, because it does say that my peace is not as the world gives. So there is peace in our world. A man with the last name Maslow in 1943, he came up with what he affectionately called Maslow's hierarchy of human need. And basically what his research showcased is that all human beings have certain needs. And basically we go through life and we work to meet our needs. And if those needs are not met, that is where anxiety rushes in and we feel the lack of peace. He also really believed through his research that in order to move to the next level of need, one had to fulfill their basic level of need. So for example, the lowest level of need, the basic needs, is we all have the need for food and water and rest. And this is kind of intuitive if you really think about it, that if you need food and water, you're probably not thinking about self-actualization. You know, that's probably not in your mind. You're thinking about, I need food and water. And until you get food or water, you have anxiety and you lack peace. How do you mitigate this lack of peace? You get food and water. Who mitigates this lack of peace? You do, or someone else. So this is very rooted in humanism. It's, we have needs, we must meet that needs in order to mitigate anxiety. The next one is our need for safety. It's kind of obvious we all need to feel safe and secure. One of the problems and one of the reasons they're saying anxiety is so on the rise in our culture is because it used to kind of be like, if I felt safe, my family felt safe, then we were pretty good. We're not living in a war-torn area. But now people can feel unsafe because Hawaii's not safe and Syria's not safe. Our global eyes have made anxiety rise because we're not just seeing our small little world, we're seeing the world. And so we see a rise of anxiety because we are not able to fully mitigate that human need. Next, this need for belonging and love and relationships. We all have that need. But unfortunately, these little devices, what's happening is we're getting fake community in which we're not being authentic, and they say this generation is the loneliest generation there has ever been. So how do people mitigate the human need of belonging and togetherness, esteem, to be respected? These are psychological needs. We need to be respected. We need prestige. We need to feel accomplished in our life. My mom, who's here tonight, very happily, she would tell me that when she was a little girl, all she dreamed of was having kids. And so when she had her two little girls, she felt her esteem needs met. She had her two little girls, her family. She had met her goals in life. The problem with a lot of our generation today is in order they have inflated need for esteem. Many of us do, because if we don't have 1,000 people reading our blogs, we do not have a fashion show on YouTube and 1,000 likes on our Facebook, then we have not met our esteem level. So we have inflated need for esteem. And so when we don't meet it, what happens? Anxiety rushes in and we lack peace. How do we mitigate that? Self-actualization is really the same thing. Maslow said only a few percentage of the world actually meets their full potential, which is self-actualization. We're talking about how the world gives peace. Peace is mitigated by fulfilling human need. I had a little 16-year-old come to me recently. She had sang at an event, and afterwards she came to me and she said, "Oh, I just know that someday I'm going to be on The Voice. That's my greatest goal in life, is to be on The Voice." Well, I had just heard her sing. And another problem with this generation is their confidence outweighs their competence. And so we have people that, in order to be self-actualized, they have to achieve things their talent doesn't even allow for. And so we have all kinds of anxiety. It was like, "Oh, honey, maybe you should pick a new goal in life. I'm just not sure Blake Shelton is going to turn his chair." But anxiety rushes in. Need arises, lack of peace is there, and the only mechanism we have for mitigating this need is self-fulfillment. It's all about humans meeting humans' needs. Jesus did not come to give us peace as the world gives peace. He had a whole different set of circumstances. He had a whole different way of mitigating peace. And the problem is oftentimes we are praying, "Peace, peace, God's peace." But we want him to go into Maslow's hierarchy of need and meet our peace. And he doesn't do that because he does not give peace as the world gives peace. Let's take just a few minutes and look at the peace that's given to us by Christ, this great gift that the whole world needs. I have affectionately created my own pyramid. Not Maslow's pyramid, we'll all just call this Crystal's pyramid of kingdom peace, because kingdom peace is very different than the peace the world offers. It is need awakened, it's faith rooted, it's trust focused, it's grief acknowledged, it's mission driven, and it's hope secured. I'm going to unpack these with you just quickly. It's need awakened. As we are interfacing in our world today, paying attention to human need is important because Jesus did. He walked around and he knew the needs of people. He knew when the woman had touched his cloak and he knew what she needed. See, it is need that awakens people to God's peace. We see this right after Jesus said, "Peace I give you, not as the world gives," when we see the two men hanging next to him on the cross. The one man hurled insults with the crowd, but the other man had a very different reaction. He said, "This man doesn't deserve to be here. We do." He repented. He knew what he did was wrong. And then he looked at Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This is Luke 23, 42-43. "Truly I tell you, today," Jesus said, "truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." There's probably never a more time that you need to cry out to peace than when you're in the middle of corporal punishment. Peace, peace, God's peace. And right then, Jesus met him in his need. See, we are awakened to God's peace by human need. It's faith-rooted. If you remember the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, when Lazarus had died and Mary and Martha were so sad because they thought if Jesus would have been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Martha meets Jesus on the path to visit them after Lazarus had passed away. And Jesus said to Martha as he met her, He asked her, "Do you believe who I am?" And she said, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world." She said that even before he did the miracle. It is rooted, this kind of peace that Jesus is offering us tonight is rooted in faith, and we know who he is. It's faith rooted. It's trust focus. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 tells us, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. I clothe the lilies. I know the sparrow when it falls. I am the one that meets your need." Friends, until we get that point, we will not have God's peace. Because when our life is rooted in humans meeting our needs, then we will not have the peace of God. When the disciples were in the boat and it was quaking and Jesus was sleeping, they woke him because they thought the boat was going to go down. What did Jesus do? He quieted the storm. And can I tell you today, he wants to quiet the storm in your lives that may be raging in your soul. He quieted the storm, but then he looked at the disciples and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Some of us need to hear that tonight. We're not a culture that likes rebukes. But sometimes when we have our faith rooted in the world, we need to say, "Jesus, calm my spirit," but we also need to hear the rebuke of, "Oh, ye of little faith." We're so not good at rebukes, we don't even know how to rebuke our two-year-olds. Anyway, some of you got that. This kind of peace, it's grief acknowledged. Jesus in the garden, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." We can be full of his peace and full of grief at the same time. They can coexist. And so if a circumstance in life is leading you to grief, you can still have the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's grief acknowledged. It is mission driven. If you look at the early disciples and the early apostles, they found themselves in prison many times, but they never seemed to pay attention to their human need because they were on mission. Pastor Bradford preached a masterful message a few weeks ago about being sent. And when we are on mission, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, when we are on mission to the school we're at, to the job we have, to the Walmart that we go to, which I am so sad I'm on mission to there so often. I have to be on mission to Walmart just all the time. But as we're mission-driven and not need-focused as believers, then his peace follows mission. His peace is mission-driven. And lastly, his peace is hope-secured. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I believe that Jesus wants to fill our heart with peace once again. Many of us, even yesterday, I was preparing to share tonight, and I had a very long, stressful day on Monday, and I remember Tuesday morning, I woke up and I felt the stress, the anxiety of the day. My need for safety in my soul was being disrupted, and I felt anxiety come like a flood and try to find root in my spirit. And I felt Jesus say to me, "Crystal, you need to ask some of your friends to help you and come alongside you." Just as Jesus, when his friends were anxious, he quieted the storm. He said, "I need you to have some people join you in faith so that the storm of your life can be calmed." And so I was so grateful yesterday. I found people around me and I said, "Can we join faith together? I need the storm of anxiety in my life to be calmed." And it was. Peace, peace, God's peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit in fathomless billows of love. On Monday, Tuesday, I experienced the fathomless billows of love of God's peace. I believe tonight we're going to close with this. I'm going to ask those of you who just have faith to believe for peace, for people who are struggling in anxiety, if you just want to hang out here, if you have a friend next to you that you need to join with them and say, "I need the waters of my soul. I need healing. Would you just say a prayer with me? I want to give you opportunity for that." Some of you need to go get your kids, and that's fantastic, but I want to give opportunity to join in faith to see this waters of our souls calmed. And to understand that we trust in Jesus. He is the one that meets our need. Secondly, some of us, and it's a byproduct of a religious spirit, some of us come to Jesus and we're like, "Yeah, you know, I've gotten all my kind of needs met. I'm secure. My basic needs are met. I'm working on that self-actualization point." And we come to him and say, "Jesus, what can I do to be more perfect? I want to be more. Just show me what I need to do." And oftentimes he'll look at us and say, "You know what? I need you to go sell the security you have in the peace of this world and come and follow me." He said that to the rich young ruler who came with all of his needs met from birth because he was born into royalty. And Jesus said, in order for you to truly follow me, you cannot trust the peace of this world. And some of us that have maybe been just sailing along life's way are thinking, you know what, I just want to be a better person and be greater. And Jesus is saying, this journey with me is not safe. So if you're going to journey with me, you cannot bring me your desire to just be a good person. I need you to sell the power you have in the peace of the world and come follow me. And if that's you, I just want you to reach out to Jesus and say, you know what, God, what do I need to sell in order to fully experience the peace of God? Amen? I'm just going to close this. If you guys want to stand. This peace, it's awakened by need. Who has need tonight? It's rooted in faith. It's focused in trust. It acknowledges grief. It's driven by mission, and it's hope secured. I'm going to pray this peace over you tonight. And after I finish the prayer, if anybody would like to come forward and have any more just extended time of prayer, this place is open. Otherwise, have any more.